Okay, friends, we are up to Parshas Emor, and we're going to be discussing Sfiras HaOmer and Pesach and Shavuos, those areas of the Parsha, which are found in Perek Chaf Gimel. Specifically, we're going to talk about Pasuk Tesvav, which is where you are. And if you also, on the same page, on Pasuk Yod Aleph, which at the top of page 684, Pasuk Yod Aleph. We'll start over here. So this is talking about the holiday of Pesach, and it says, the Pasuk says, this is one of the most hotly contested psukim in the Chumash. Is that really true? No, it's a huge exaggeration. But it caused a lot of strife within the Jewish people for a long period of time. It's recorded in the Mishnah as an area of contention. We'll see what it says. The Pasuk says that you should, that it's talking about Pesach. And then Hashem says, Daber Azmai Moshe Limor, Daber Avnei Sor Marta Lihem, Ki Savo Al Ha'ar Shashar Nino Nisein Lachem, Sartem Es Kitzira. When you come, this is Pasuk Yod, when you come into, one Pasuk back, when you come into the land that I'm giving to you, and you cut the grain, the beginning of those cuttings, when you cut the barley the first time, that should be brought as a carbon. This is where the term Omer comes from, right? The term Omer sounds like such an exotic word. Sfiras HaOmer, the counting of the Omer. So what is the counting of the Omer? What does it mean? So the Omer is a measurement. It's like, you know, you would say a pound of flour or a cup of flour. So the Omer is a measure of flour. It's really not just an exotic word at all. It's used all over Chumash. It happens to be that that's how large this carbon was. It was one Omer. And it was brought when, we'll read, the Hainif, and it should be waved. This is Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. The Hainif es HaOmer lefnei Hashem lirtzonchem, and the Kohen, who's sacrificing the carbon Omer, which is, remember, the flour, the size of the Omer, the size of the carbon, he should wave it. He should put it forward and back and up and down. Mimachras HaShabbos yinifenu HaKohen. It should be waved, meaning the carbon should be sacrificed after Shabbos. So if I ask you, after Shabbos, what day are we talking about?
Sunday.
Sunday. That's what you might think. And there was a group of Jews called the Tzedukim who existed during the Bais Sheni. They were a large sect of Judaism during Bais Sheni.
Weren't they priests?
Not that I know of. That there were some Kohanim among them, but they were a segment of Jews. So some were Kohanim, some were not Kohanim.
That's why they had to have that whole thing with the Kohen Gadol, and they can swear that he would do the right. So that was properly and not this way.
Correct. That was another big argument they had. But the one over here was, what does it mean, Mimachras HaShabbos?
The day after Yom Tov.
The day after. So we know that Rashi quotes over here, Mimachras HaShabbos, Mimachras Yom Tov HaRishon Shal Pesach. It's talking about the day after the first day of Pesach. Why? Because holidays are often referred to as Shabbos. Most famously is which one? Yom Kippur is referred to as Shabbos Shabboson, but it's not only Yom Kippur. Throughout the Chumash, the Yom Tovim are referred to as Shabbos. So if you'd say like, the Shabbos, of course you're going to refer to Shabbos, the seventh day of the week. But if in this context, it has to mean, it has to be the first day of Yom Tov. And that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara records this argument. There was a very big argument between the Prushim, which means what we call the Pharisees, which is not a word that anybody uses, but it means like the rabbis, the standard Judaism that we know. And then the Tzedukim, which was a sect of Judaism, that the Tzedukim in general denied the oral tradition, and they favored a literal translation of Pesukim. So over here, the more literal translation for the Pasuk, well, Shabbos means the Shabbos, the seventh day of the week. And they would always want to bring this carbon on Sunday. So there's this running argument. It's like, you know, like an old married couple. They've been arguing about the same thing for the last 50 years. So every year, the Tzedukim and the Purushim had this argument. What day do we bring the karma? Does it have to be brought on a Sunday, which is what the Tzedukim thought? Or the rabbi said, no, it's brought whatever day the first day of Chol HaMoed is. So what the Tzedukim tried to do was, because they weren't in control of the Beis HaMikdash, they tried to arrange that the first day of Pesach was always on Shabbos, like it was this year. And that way, the two would coincide, that the second day of Pesach would always be Sunday. And that way, they could get the rabbis to bring the karban on Sunday, and they'd be very excited. And what they would do is, when the calendar was still based on witnesses, meaning witnesses would see the new moon, and then they'd travel to the courts, and they'd tell the courts, we saw the new moon, and the beis din would say, Mekudash, Mekudash, it's a new month. So what they would do is, they would come on a Friday, so that if, whether or not they really saw the new moon, they would claim to have seen the new moon, so that beis din would say, okay, so that you saw the new moon, so today is Rosh Chodesh, today is the first day of the new month, so that 2 weeks later, the first day of Pesach would come out on Shabbos, so the second day of Pesach would come out on Sunday, so that the karban would be brought on Sunday. Now, the rabbis didn't like this, and because of that, they had to set up a lot of safeguards to prevent the manipulation of the calendar by the Tzedukim. And we read about these, if you read in the Mishnayos and Maseches Rosh Hashanah, there's a famous Mishnah about the torches. They used to light these enormous bonfires on top of mountains. Because let's say, you know, you live in Bavel. Okay, you live 600 miles from Eretz Yisrael, 700 miles from Yerushalayim. And the basin is in Yerushalayim. How are you going to know when Rosh Chodesh is? How do you think? So you could send out, you know, messengers, but 700 miles is very far. So there was a system where they set up bonfires on top of hills, and they would pass the message along like that. And the Gemara describes it very beautifully, how they would light one, and the next one, and the next one. And then when it got to Bavel, so there was no mountain there to receive it, Bavel, the entire society would receive the message, and everybody would light up their own torch, and they'd go outside and hold their torch, and the entire Bavel would light up like the skyline of New York. And the whole thing would look like it was on fire as they would accept the message that Rosh Chodesh had started. Okay, so and because of the machinations of the Tzedukim, they had to discontinue that system, and instead they had messengers who would go deliver the message to Bavel. Fine. So this pasuk is a very complicated pasuk. And the Ramban suggests a very interesting interpretation that I wanted to talk about and connect to a different Ramban. So the Ramban says that he thinks that even if you don't accept Torah Shebaal Peh, even if you don't accept the oral tradition, you still have to understand this pasuk as referring to not Sunday, but the day after Pesach. Because he says that later on,
when you say the day after Pesach, you mean
the day of the first day of Pesach. Yes, the first day of Chol HaMoed. Remember, there was only one day at the beginning, not two. Right? In the Torah, there's only one day. In Chutzaris, we keep two.
In Israel, it's still
one. In Israel, there's still only one because they don't have the Sfeika D'Yoma. Very good. So he points the Pasuk, the Ramban points to Pasuk 15, Tesvav. It says like this. So we know that not only do you have to bring the Karban Omer on the day after Shabbos, whatever Shabbos means. Mm-hmm. What else depends on the Omer?
Shavuos.
So the pasuk says, let's read it. Pasuk Tesvav 15. Usvartim lachem mimacharas haShabbos. You should count from the day after Shabbos, meaning referring to that Shabbos that we just quoted in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Miyom haviyachem es Omer hatznufa, on the day that you bring the carbon Omer that was waved. Shabbat Shabbosos Timimos Tiyen. You should count 7 whole weeks. You count 49 days until Amimachras the Shabbos Shvius, until the following week ends. Here Shabbos again means week. Tisbu Chamishim Yom, and then it becomes Shavuos. He says, let me ask you, if the term Shabbos in verse 11, Pasuk Yud Aleph, doesn't mean Yom Tov, it just means the day after Shabbos. So then, how do you know when to bring the carbon. And moreover, if you don't know when to bring the carbon, it just means a Shabbos. It's after some Shabbos. So then when Shavuot is going to fall out? We don't know. It's not connected to any day. Uh-huh. I mean, maybe it's a Shabbos in the winter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say.
Maybe this is a Shemitah.
What's that?
We observe the Chag like we do the Shabbat. It was Shemitah. The cessation of work.
The question is, what day? Are you explaining why a Yom Tov is referred to as Shabbos?
Yeah,
I think that's true. The reason that Yom Tov is referred to as Shabbos is because both of them have an Issur Melacha and you have to rest. I think that's true.
Why is it repeated so many times?
In which Pasuk?
Limacharet HaShabbat. It's like three times in a very close succession.
So first it's in Pasuk Yud Aleph, that's referring to the bringing of the carbon. And then it says you should count in Pasuk Tes Vav.
Right.
You should count from the day after Shabbos. Okay. So it's telling you when to start counting.
And then till the seventh after Shabbos again.
So why? I think the question is, why is it included in Pasuk Tes Zayin? I mean, the first one, that's to tell you when to bring the carbon. The second one is to tell you when to start counting.
Right.
But the third one, what does that mean? The Ramban actually, I believe, quotes this as a proof that Shabbos could not mean. Does he quote that? I don't remember. Let me see. I don't remember if he quotes it. It's a long Ramban, so I don't see it right now. So you're asking, why is it repeated one more time?
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose? I can give two possibilities, two suggestions to your question off the top of my head. Anybody else want to give suggestions first? Any suggestions first? Why it says in Pasuk Tes Zayin in Mimachras HaShabbos, where over there it's not, I mean, it refers to, again, after the counting of 7 weeks, but why does it use the same term?
And it's right away after Mimachras HaShabbos. So you have to be an idiot not to understand it.
Right, it's going to come out anyway. So you know what? I'll give you two suggestions. One suggestion, quickly, is that the Maharal writes that the 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer represent the complete formation of the natural. Seven is a natural number. Why is seven the natural number?
Since God created the world
because
in 7 days.
God created the world in 7 days. Nature was created in 7 days. So seven represents nature. Seven squared, seven times seven, represents the full, the complete nature, meaning, I'm not sure what that would mean, but it means nature. It means a really full-bodied nature.
With a capital N.
Yeah, I think I'd put a capital, maybe a capital E at the end also. 50, the day after, which is the day of Shavuos, represents the supernatural. It represents the influence of the spiritual, the Torah given on Shavuos, on the natural. So maybe Mimachras HaShabbos, which means, if you interpret, Shabbos means natural, means completion of the natural. Mimachras means the next day. Maybe means the supernatural again. He points this out also by Chanukah. Chanukah is 8 days because eight is the number after seven, obviously, but it's the number after nature. So the holiday of Chanukah celebrates the spiritual and the supernatural, which is understood in two ways, referring to two things. One, it refers to the war of the Jews and the Hellenist Greeks, where it was Rabban v'yad Ma'atim, Tmei v'yad Torim, Misham v'yad Tzidikim. The evil, enormous empire fell to the hands of the simple, pure Jews. And also the miracle of the light, that the lights in the menorah burnt for 8 days instead of just one. So it's the supernatural over the natural. The Greek culture and Jewish thought often refers to nature as opposed to spirit. So maybe one reason that would stress it is for that. And the other is for what we're going to say, which is actually why I wanted to talk about this. Because the Ramban says, let's go back to the Pasuk Yudav. Pasuk Yudav says that you bring the Korban Omer the day after Shabbos. Mimacharas HaShabbos. And Shabbos causes this whole hullabaloo. Shabbos should refer to Yontif, doesn't refer to Shabbos like the day after Friday. There was a big fight. So the Ramban says that I want to suggest maybe the word Shabbos means something completely different. And he thinks this is the standard. This is a Pashut Pshat in the Pasuk. What is it? Why? He says the word Shabbos can mean Shabbos. It can mean Yontif. But it can also mean one more thing. Right? We say Sheva Shabbosos. What does that refer to?
A week.
7 weeks. So the week is also called Shabbos. Why is the week called Shabbos?
Because
Shabbos is the end of the week. Because Shabbos contains one Shabbos. So the week is referred to as Shabbos. Right? So he says, if there are 7 weeks of the Sfira, so imagine you have a timeline, right? So you have 0.0, right? That's t equals 0. And then you have 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, okay? But if you have a timeline, you can imagine it backwards also, right?
Yes.
So you have -1 week, -2 weeks. So if the whole sphere is about weeks, it's about 7 weeks, counting 7 weeks of 49 days. So he says, Mimacharas HaShabbos means that this week, the first week begins, we're talking about the unit of weeks. It doesn't begin out of nowhere. There was the 0 week also, which is not part of the count, meaning the week going from the 8th day of Nisan, the 9th day of Nisan until the 15th day of Nisan, those 7 days, that's week 0. That doesn't count as part of the Sefira. Week 1 is from day 16 to day 22. And then week 2 is from day 23 to day 29. So he said the term Yimachras HaShabbos means not the day after Shabbos, not even the day after Yontif. It's the day after the week. The week 0, which doesn't count. We start week 1 of the Sefira. So since the whole Sefira is formatted in the unit of weeks, so we can have a week 0 also. And the term Shabbos, maybe he suggests, Yitachin he calls it, maybe it doesn't mean the day after Shabbos, like the Tzedukim says. It doesn't mean that even the day after Yontif. It means the day after the week. He actually prefers this interpretation to the interpretation that Shabbos means Yontif, because throughout all these psukim, the term Shabbos doesn't specifically refer to Yontif, like we said, like in the pasuk that you pointed out, Mimacharas HaShabbos HaShabbos, right? After the seventh Shabbos. So that word doesn't refer to Yontif, right? It refers to a week. So he says, great. If that one refers to a week, rewind 5 psukim earlier, that one also refers to a week. How am I going to get a week? What's the week before the first day of Sefiras HaOmer? It's the 0 week, the one that doesn't count. So that's how he interprets it. And he says, "Im kein, the day that you bring the carbon, yehayom ahu mimachras hashavu shavah, it's after the previous week, ki'ilu amar, as if the pasuk is saying, yehayom atnufa, the day that you bring the carbon, that you wave, mirach mimachras shvua liyam ma'ovrim, it comes after the previous week, v'rishon l'shvuos sheyisbor, and it's the first of the weeks that you're going to count." Just if you want to visualize it, you ever make a calendar on Snapfish? You ever print a calendar online?
No.
I'm talking to the wrong group, right? You can print a calendar, or you can order a calendar, and they ask you, what kind of calendar do you want? So, I don't know, I just want a regular calendar, right? So what day of the week does your calendar start with? You ever see these?
Well, it has to be
Sunday.
1st of January.
No, what day of the week?
Sunday.
So you'd say Sunday, right? Yeah. Where else? What else is going to start with?
Sunday.
But no, some calendars start with Monday. Because a business calendar starts with Monday. Wow. Because Monday is the important day, not Sunday. What do I care about Sunday? Nobody comes to work on Sunday. So a business calendar starts with Monday. You can start your week however you want. So the Chumash is saying over here, this week begins whatever day you bring the carbon. This year we happen to have brought the carbon on Sunday. We would have had brought the carbon on Sunday. Other years we may have brought it on Tuesday. Okay, so your weeks begin on Tuesday. No. Right? Okay. So that's the Ramban's interpretation over here. I wanted any questions on this, on the Ramban's either interpretation or thoughts on the depth of why the term Shabbos is used referred to a week.
I don't understand when you said you can make it any day of the week that you want, but it's just supposing I say, well, let's make it Tuesday, and it just turns out that Monday is the 1st of January. How can you start it on Tuesday?
So, I'm going to meet you in 3 weeks. We're going to go to the Statue of Liberty in 3 weeks. Okay, so now you're very excited because we want to go to the Statue of Liberty together. So obviously you're going to count the 3 weeks. What's the first day of the week? Well, today's Tuesday. So the first day of our week is Tuesday, right? When does the second week start? What day of the week?
Next Tuesday.
And the third week? Also next Tuesday. Right. So the same thing's true about Sfiras HaOmer. Sometimes the week of Sfiras HaOmer begins on Sunday, like it did this year. Sometimes it begins on a different day. And it doesn't have to coincide with the Shabbos cycle. It doesn't have to coincide with the calendar cycle. It's our own counting. It's a counting that begins with the bringing of the carbon Omer. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
All right.
I'm having more of a problem with the 0 week.
The 0 week. Okay, so Sharon's having a problem with the 0 week.
Does any of this make sense?
What's that?
Time equals zero. It's just your starting point.
Right.
It's your origin, your starting point.
Right. I think Sharon's asking, I think Sharon's question is that why does the Chumash start with a 0 week? What's the significance of the 0 week?
It doesn't correlate to that.
It doesn't correlate to anything. The ninth of Nisan doesn't correlate to anything. It's not even the day that they brought the Karm, that they brought the Karm Pesach into their home. That was on the 10th. So it doesn't correlate to anything.
Right.
I don't know. I had the same problem with the Ramban. But this is what he says, and the Ramban is the Gadol Sheba Gadolim. And I want to connect it to another Ramban. I want to lend some, discuss some further depth over here. So there's another Ramban in Parshas Yisro. In Yisro, we have the Aseres HaDibros. And one of the Aseres HaDibros is Zachor as Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho. If you want to look at it inside, I just recited the whole thing. But if you want to look at it inside, it is on page. It is on page.
Yisro, whereabouts?
400. 410. The top of page 410. I mean, that's all we're going to talk about. Zachor as Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho. We're done. Either way. Right. So we're talking about the word Zachor. So in Parshas Yisro on page 410, the Pasuk says, Hashem says to the Jewish people, remember the Shabbos to make it holy. So what does the word remember mean? There are lots of... What does it mean?
To remember.
What does it mean to remember the Shabbos?
Don't
what does that mean?
Forget.
Don't forget it.
To observe.
Observe.
Does it mean to observe?
Yes.
What does it mean to observe?
To do what we do on Shabbat.
What is that? What is Hashem asking us to do?
Not to work.
Not to
Hashem's asking us not to work.
Rest.
That's you say remember.
Rest.
Is that how you would say it?
To Davin.
Davin, I hear. Davin sounds like remember. But so.
So observe the Shabbat the way you're supposed to. You remember.
Okay. So the Gemara gives a very beautiful interpretation that I think will flesh out what you're trying to put together.
Okay.
And it says that the word Zachor sometimes means to recite. Like by?
Mouth.
Well, yes, by mouth. Like by Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. To remember that Hashem took the Jewish people out of Egypt. That is the recitation of the last part of Shema. To recite. So the Gemara says, you see, the word zachor can sometimes mean reset. You're right, it can also mean to remember. Obviously, they're related to each other. But here it means recite as Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Re-talk about the Shabbos to make it holy. What do we call that when you talk about the Shabbos to make it holy?
Kiddush.
We call that Kiddush. So the Gemara derives, the Gemara interprets this pasuk to refer to Kiddush. Okay, so Ramban, the Rashi quotes this over here. The Ramban develops a little bit further. And then he quotes a really beautiful interpretation. I think we may have quoted this Ramban other times. He says that he thinks, this is where he calls it the Pashup Shad. He thinks the Pshuto Shal Mikra is Zachar Yom HaShabbos the Kadsho. You should call the weeks Shabbos. How so? He says, look at other languages. We'll take English because it's a really good example. How are the days of the week named? We're talking English.
Sunday,
English.
Sunday.
English.
Moon.
Good. We'll start with Sunday. Sunday is called Sunday. Why?
In honor of the sun.
Monday. Why is Monday called Monday?
In honor of the moon.
Tuesday. I don't know. Wednesday. I don't know. Thursday. Thursday is in honor of Thor.
Thor.
The god, I don't know, the guy with the mallet.
Yeah. And Friday is Erev Shabbos.
Friday is Erev Shabbos, there you go. And Shabbos is Shabbos Kodesh. So he says
that's all English, by the way.
In English.
Shabbos, yeah. I think it's after wooden.
It could be, I don't know. It's hard to spell either way. So in English, the days of the week, each one has their own significance. So for example, Sunday is for the sun, it's not related to the other days of the week. He says, in Hebrew, all the days are counting towards what?
Shabbos.
Yes. You look in the Chumash. Yom Rishon Avodah, right? Yom Sheni Avodah. That's what it says. It's a pasuk. So the days of the week are counted together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Shabbos.
It doesn't call it 7. It calls it Shabbos. So the days of the week are counting towards Shabbos. That is true, but throughout the rest of that's because it's the first time. You gotta know what day it is. You're right, though. Good call. But the day is called Shabbos.
Right.
In the song, it's called Yom Shabbat Minucha. It's a good proof. So, it's good proof. The days of the week in Hebrew are directed towards Shabbos. So he thinks, Zachor Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho means that when you name the days of the week, you should name them for Shabbos. For example, in Shir Shal Yom,
Yom Rishon
LaShabbos. Hayom Yom Rishon LaShabbos Shavuot Yuvavim Omer. It's the first day, Hayom Yom Rishon LaShabbos. Right. Some people even say, I don't remember who this was quoted from, but I heard it from Rabbi Herschel Schechter. He said that some people hold that the recitation of Hayom Yom Rishon LaShabbos, that line, is a fulfillment of the biblical commandment of Zachor Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Because in the Saras Divros it says, the Ramban interprets it to mean, that you should name the days of the week after Shabbos.
So you're always thinking of the Shabbat coming.
Right, so let's get a little bit, we'll hold off for 1 second on that. Yeah.
Isn't that like the famous parish that you would go shopping for Shabbos and you would see something special and you keep going up?
Oh, do you know who quotes that? Who do you think? Guess.
What did she say? I didn't hear what
she said.
That's like a rich person can be very good in Zachor Yom HaShabbos because he has the money to buy the provisions. Whereas somebody who's not so wealthy has the Shmira because they can observe, but they don't have the wherewithal to do the Zachira. So that's how the two mesh together.
I would take issue with that second part about that you need money in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zachor Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. I think that it can be done at all income levels, but that first...
It's more challenging.
It's I don't know if it's more challenging. I think it's just a different avoda. The first thing you quoted is a story that the Gemara tells in Beitza. I believe it's on Daf Tes Zayin. The Gemara tells there were two great Talmid Chachamim. One was Hillel one was Shammai.
Oh.
We're not so familiar with Hillel and Shammai. We're much more familiar with their students. Well, they actually didn't fight so much. We're familiar with their students, which were Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. They established, they were great Talmid Chachamim. They each created a yeshiva. And those yeshivas existed for a very long time. And the great debates of halacha took place in those yeshivas. Some things they agreed upon, some things they disagreed upon. And then if they had a disagreement, so you had this yeshiva, Beis Hillel, had this opinion, and this yeshiva, Beis Shammai, had a different opinion. But before there was Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, they were just Hillel and Shammai. And these were two great Talmidei Chacham of their time. And the Gemara says that Shammai HaZaken, they call him the old Shammai because he was before the whole yeshiva. So Shammai HaZaken, I wrote down the language, but I don't think I'll be able to find it right now. So Shammai HaZaken, the Gemara says, and the Medrash says, that I don't remember the language, but his mouth was always remembering Shabbos, or always pushing away shikcha of Shabbos. I don't remember exactly the language that it takes. His mouth is always remembering Shabbos. Why? Because Shammai HaZaken would be going about his business on Sunday. And do you know what he found on Sunday? What would he find? Well, when you're going about your business, you find lots of different things, right? So he'd come across, you know, go to Riverdale Kosher Market, and lo and behold, They had flanken with the bone. He's like, this is great. We'll save this for Shabbos. And then he goes about his business. Wednesday, he passes through our camp again. He needs some milk. And you know what he finds in the meat section?
Meat? The same piece Not of flanken.
No, he already bought it. Not only do they have flanken.
It's in the freezer now.
No, he puts it in his fridge. It could last a week. He bought it on Sunday. Goes back on Wednesday. And they have second-cut brisket. Second-cut brisket, I personally prefer to first-cut brisket because it's much more delicious. So he's like, forget the flanken, I'm going to get the second-cut brisket. So he buys the second brisket. Right before Shabbos, or like, you know, 12 o'clock, he passes through Arkham again. He needed something for Shabbos. And he goes in. And he's like, they have standing rib roast. So he doesn't tell his wife. And he buys the standing rib roast. This is Shammai. It doesn't say he didn't tell his wife. I made that up.
He doesn't sound normal.
Well, let me finish the story. And then before we judge his values, let me finish the story. So he buys the standing rib roast. But now he's left with all these other foods. What's he going to do with them? So the Gemara says in Beitza that, well, he said, obviously I don't need all this for Shabbos. So on Tuesday, he instead of saving the flanken for Shabbos, he replaced it with something better. So instead, he has flanken and beans for supper. So let me ask you, that flanken and beans, why is he eating it? Is he eating it because Tuesday was the day that he wanted to have flanken and beans?
No.
He ate it because it's the leftovers from the Shabbos that didn't come yet. So the Gemara says that everything he ate the whole week was the kavod Shabbos. Because everything he bought was the kavod Shabbos. And if it was pushed out of the way because of something else.
Right.
So then he would eat everything from kavod Shabbos. And then he bought that second cut brisket. So he doesn't need it for Shabbos anymore. So on Sunday he has his second cup brisket because
a whole brisket.
Why couldn't he put it in the freezer and have it?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. So I'll tell you, Sonia, I'll tell you the answer. He didn't have a freezer.
That's right.
He didn't.
They smoked it.
He could have had blocks of ice.
Could have given it
no,
to the poor.
No, you're thinking about like 1900.
Yeah.
You're off by about 2,000 years.
Could have sacrifice or give it to the poor.
So let's say he gave it to the poor. You think he ate the whole brisket himself? Of course, he invited the poor in. And they all ate the kavod Shabbos. So the Gemara, the Ramban, this is the story that you were quoting. The Ramban quotes that story and he says, look, that's exactly what I said. Everything you do during the week
is for Shabbos.
The way he did it was, everything he bought was the kavod Shabbos. And whatever he didn't end up using on Shabbos, he used during the week because he said, well, Nebuchadnezzar, I wasn't able to eat it on when? On Shabbos. So every day was a fulfillment. Everything he ate, everything he said, was a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho.
You know, I have, it's just your story, the way you're telling it, just reminds me of something my husband wrote in his book about, you know, like, he was a survivor from the camps. And when he wrote about his family in Holland, they came from Germany, they came out of the Polish army, had been from Poland to Germany, he was born in Germany, now they're in Holland. He said, the Jews made a living among each other and everybody was of tourists. They didn't have much. But he said a whole week his mother planned for Shabbos. A whole week. The way he described it. And when Shabbos came, the house was lit up, everybody was dressed, and there was a suda. You know, but the whole week it required preparing for the Shabbat.
Right.
To have enough to make a nice Shabbat.
That's the focal point of the whole week. What Shammai is offering in this interpretation. Exactly what you're saying. What Shammai is offering us is a focal point.
So those expensive cuts of the meat don't go into our story.
I embellished it for Riverdale. You're right. In the shtetl, they didn't have that.
Hillel
and Shammai were not eating standing rib roast, and they weren't eating flanken. They were poor people, and they ate very simply. But they would save something for Shabbos.
When they were in concentration camp, they saved the food for Shabbos.
Those stories are unbelievable. That anybody could save anything in the concentration camps is unbelievable.
Even years ago, when we used to buy new clothes, we used to save it for Yantif or Shabbos.
Right.
We didn't put it on before.
Right.
So it's the same.
We still do this. I do this with my kids.
That's right.
We have a wonderful woman who lives across the hall from us. Her name is Mrs. Renner. Renee Renner. Anybody know her?
No.
She doesn't dive in here. She dives in a different shul. And she and her husband live across the hall, and my kids go in and get lollipops. Why? Mm-hmm. Why do they? Because my kids really love lollipops, and she knows that my kids love lollipops, so she gives them lollipops because she knows that their parents won't. Right? That's what neighbors are for. So they go in and they get these lollipops. And, you know, Shoshana's a dietitian, so we don't believe in lollipops. So they say, can we have the lollipops? So what do we say? Save it for Shabbos. That's exactly what Shammai taught. It's a way of focusing every single thing that you do.
Do this for Shabbos.
Right.
So does it work the other way? Like, in other words, you've got challah left over from Shabbos, and then when you're eating it still on Tuesday, you're thinking, this is what I had on Shabbos.
I think it does, absolutely. The Rav said something very interesting about, the Rav grew up in Europe. He grew up in a city called Chaslavich. Chaslavich was probably a tiny village. It was actually a Lubavitch town. Mm-hmm. He was the only misnagid in the whole town. And that made for an interesting dialectic within his personality. But and then he came to America and he observed that the Jews in America and the Jews in Europe both keep Shabbos. You know, more or less, some people do, some people don't, but those who do keep Shabbos. He said, I'll tell you what's missing in America. What's missing in America is the Erev Shabbos Jew. People do it, but it doesn't light up their Friday.
Right.
In America, it's Friday. He said, in Europe, it was Erev Shabbos. And it's really, the truth is that it's a challenge that the Chumash is giving us, that Hashem gives us. In the Aser Sedibro, Zachor Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, Hashem is challenging us, well, where's the Shabbos, where's your Shabbos? Like, today's Tuesday, right? Tuesday night's already Wednesday. Okay, Shabbos is coming. You got to get ready. You can't wait. There's a great story that's not true at all. I heard it from my friend, Rabbi Yaakov Feit. It's a story about the Baal Shem Tov. He told me he made it up. But the story is just so great that I have to share it. So the Baal Shem Tov, again, this is not a true story. It's made up. It's a parable made up by my friend. The Baal Shem Tov was walking down the road, and he turns to a farm on the side of the road on a Sunday, and he says, Shmerel, how was your Shabbos? And Shmerel says, oh, Shabbos, it was so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Shmerel thinks he really impressed the Rebbe. The next day, Monday, the Baal Shem Tov is walking down the road, and he sees Shmerel again. This time Shmerel's walking with the cows, and he says, Shmerel, mm-hmm. how was your Shabbos? And he said, Rebbe, Shabbos was wonderful. Tuesday, mm-hmm. the same thing happens. He's with the cows again. He's milking them. Mm-hmm. He says, Shmerel, how's your Shabbos? He says, Rebbe, I don't understand. I told you. I told you yesterday. I told you on Sunday. Shabbos is wonderful. So Baal Shem said, no, you don't understand. I don't want to know how your Shabbos was on Shabbos. That was wonderful. I want to know how was the Shabbos that you took with you on Sunday? How is the Shabbos that you took with you on Monday? How is the Shabbos affecting how you milk the cows? How is the Shabbos affecting how you're going to use the milk? Maybe you should save the cream for Shabbos. How is the Shabbos going to affect what you're thinking about? How does it affect how you interact with each other? Shabbos is done. You can't leave it behind, and you can't just leave it up ahead. It's 3 days away, 4 days away, 5 days. No. It has to be current. It has to be current. So I sent out in the email, I sent out this Aaron Kaliner song, Ka'echsof. Ka'echsof is a very complex poem.
Longing. That,
what's that?
A longing.
Yes, it's a longing poem. Let me get a text. And like many wonderful Jewish poems, it's an acrostic. It's four paragraphs, and the four paragraphs spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei Hashem's name. Second. And the it talks about Ka'echsof Noam Shabbos Hamas Emes Umisachedes B'Skula Secha. It talks about how I love and I pine for the Shabbos which connects the Jewish people to Hashem. And he asks, Meshoch Noam Yira Secha La'am Vakshe V'Tzonecha. He asks, many of the things that he asks for are requests for spirituality. Meshoch, and they're also like dialectics. Like, for example, Meshoch, draw upon us Noam Yira Secha, the pleasantness of your awe, of your fear, which is, right, there's a dissonance there. There's Noam Yerasecha, the pleasantness of your awe. So we skip to the second paragraph. He says, Hatzel me'achrei lefrosh min ha-Shabbos, save from those who keep Shabbos for a long time, the vilti tiyas agur mehem, so that it's not withhold from. Remember, these people are keeping a long Shabbos. While some people are running out to movies as soon as Shabbos is over, they stick around. We're on page 166. They stick around. They're ma'acharei. They wait a long time, lefrosh, to pull back min ha-Shabbos. What does he ask? Levilti sagur mehem sheshes yamim, so that you don't withhold from them, sagur means to close off, the 6 days, hamekablim kedusha, which become holy, mishabbos kodshecha, who derive their holiness from Shabbos. The holiness of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or in Hebrew, what the Ramban says, right? Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shishi, Yom Revi, Yom Chamishi, Yom Shishi, is Mekamlin Kedusha Mishabbos Kedusha. All those are pointed, they're directed towards Shabbos. They derive their holiness from Shabbos. They're counting from that Shabbos. And let's get back to where we started. I think we have to wrap up. How do we start? The Ramban says that the term Mimachras HaShabbos, when it's talking about Sfiras HaOmer, right, the 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer, doesn't refer to Yontif, like Rashi says, and doesn't refer to Shabbos, the last day of the week, like the Tzedukim said. It refers to the week. And he says the week is called Shabbos. Now let's flesh it out. Why is the week called Shabbos? Why are Sheva Shabbosos Timimos Tiyana? Why are the 7 weeks of the Sfira called seven Shabbosos? Because it's the focal point, and what's more, it's the defining point. It defines the entire week. Yom Rishon is Yom Rishon because there's Shabbos. L'Shabbos. Yom Chamishi is Yom Chamishi because of Shabbos. Like Aaron Kaliner writes, they're mekablim kedusha mishabbos kedushacha. The Shabbos is not just the end, but it gives meaning to everything we do. Think about, I offer this as a suggestion. It's a little bit. It's a challenge of the Shammai Hazakin challenge. Everything we do, in a way, can somehow be linked to Shabbos. It's easier with food because you're either eating leftovers or you're saving your food for Shabbos. But there's more than that. There's more than that. I'm working now. Well, I'm not going to be able to do this on Shabbos because Shabbos is coming. So what I'm doing now is, in a way, preparation for Shabbos. What I'm thinking about now is preparation for Shabbos. You have to keep the Shabbos with you. You have to keep the Shabbos in your pocket. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos.